We have been in a sermon series called Your Work Matters, right? And for the last couple of weeks, I really have talked about the fact that God created work was before the fall, so it's a good thing. And He being an image of God means that we would work. So work is a good thing, it's a commendable thing, and we ought to take advantage of that. Last week, I talked about really how we ought to work 100%. There's some more work, biblical work ethics that are important for us to apply to our lives so that we can represent Jesus into the world. And today I'm going to talk about pursuing your calling, right? We all have a calling for our lives and we all trying to pursue it. We pursue our calling because God created us uniquely with His own purpose in mind. Our attitude and approach to all of our work life should reflect an appreciation of God's unique calling and purpose in our lives. And that's my theme for you today, and it will be there for you to see it. Listen, we pursue our calling because God created us uniquely. That's why God has, and He has a purpose for us. It's in His mind, and He has instituted in us. So our attitude and approach to all work should reflect an appreciation of God's unique calling and purpose to our lives. We all have been there, right? We are graduating from college, and we are like mom and dad is coming to us and start asking the question, what are you going to be? What are you going to college for? What are you going to do? You got to go to school. You got to go to university. You got to become somebody, right? Isn't that the pressure? Isn't that the pressure right there? Have you ever been there? Remember back then, the day? It's not unique for high schoolers or college students either, right? You are in school, in college, and you start asking the question, what am I supposed to do? So you go to college like I did in a Christian college, and you're like, oh man, I'm safe. Whatever I get here, I'm going to be in God's will, so I know I'm going to do the right thing. And then after four times changing your major, you start to figure out, oh my, now I got it, right? True story, four changes of majors, end up right here. I remember in Springfield not too long ago, about 2 years ago, I was talking to a gentleman in the soccer field. Our kids were playing and we were having a conversation, and he's about our age, 35, 36, 37 years old, asking the question, Sam, what am I supposed to do with my life? I've been working on this profession here for, you know, about 15, 16 years, and I just don't know if this is what God has for me or if this is the place I'm supposed to be. And I thought, like, dude, you have been here for so long, don't change it. You stick with it, man. You're 38. You can't move down. You can't change now. Here, reality is we are all asking the question, what am I supposed to do? Christians often pray and talk and worry about God's call in their lives, and as if God's call to our lives were like a secret that God was reluctant to reveal to us. Don't we do that? We're like, God, speak to me, write it on the wall, and He doesn't, and you're like, come on, God. But God is a personal God. I have spoken to you about that many times, and has clearly expressed His will to us through different ways, through different callings. And I want to explore those callings with you this morning. But before I go there, I need to quote from Dorothy Sayers in The Creed or Chaos, a book that she writes. She's put this way. The habit of thinking about work as something one does to make money is ingrained in us, is so ingrained in us, that we can scarcely imagine what a revolutionary change it would be to think about it instead in terms of the work done. It would mean taking the attitude of mind we reserve to our unpaid work, our hobbies, our leisure times, or interest, the things that we make and do for pleasures, and making that the standards of all our judgments about things and people would be based on that. So she's saying, like, listen, to resume work life as making money is problematic, right? We need to expand that. And a biblical perspective of vocation, of work, and a biblical perspective of our calling, what are we supposed to do, should lead us to see work not as an occupation that makes us money, but as a calling that expresses who God has uniquely created us to be. What we do in our everyday lives ought to express who God has uniquely created us to be. On the theme that I have for you, and I want it to be up there, I want you to write it down and to really memorize this, because this is what this is the theme says. God created us uniquely with His own purpose in mind. See, we don't think about that. We live in a world where everything is made out of a factory, right? We have t-shirts that are made out of factory, and everything comes out of the same. A lot of guys here works at Honda, so you go there, there's a factory, the Honda Accord. There are tons of Honda Accord. They all look the same, right? Nothing specifically unique about one Honda Accord from the other ones, maybe the color. But reality is that God, in His Word, is telling us, listen, you were made uniquely. I made you unique. I took time. There is no factory up in heaven where God is like, okay, the chain line is coming. So this is Sam. Okay, go ahead. This is, no. God took His time. He looked upon us and He took His time and created us. And gave us a purpose. God had a purpose for you and I in mind. That we would fit in what His plan is for us as humanity, His creation. So our attitude and approach to all work should reflect appreciation of God's unique calling and purpose for our lives. So we need to understand that calling. What is it that God has for? What am I supposed to do? And the first point that I have for you this morning is this. It's a description of our calling. We need to understand what we are called to. And that call is divided in two different aspects. So the primary calling that we have is to be a follower of Jesus. There's a quote from, I can't speak English, let alone read these crazy names, right? So the that'll be up there for you. The Inquisitors in Feudal. Those streets, whatever that, see that name over there? How do you read that? Literature. I love to read and I love literature, but boy, there are some names that, okay, who's going to do that? Like, nobody, right? Yeah, that's right. Here's the quote. For the secret of man's being is not only to live, but to live for something. Read that word for me. What does that word mean? Something that is sure. If you're not living life on something that is sure, there's always something be missing in your life. Without a firm notion of what he's living for, man will not accept life and will rather destroy himself than remain on earth. Man, I love that statement because it says this, if you're not pursuing life, if you're not pursuing your calling, if you're not pursuing that which is sure, which is God's call for your life, something will be missing, and eventually you're not going to accept your own personal life, and you're going to end up ending it somehow. So the Bible speaks of that. The Bible speaks of something that is sure, something that we ought to pursue, that God created us, and He gave us a unique purpose, and we ought to fulfill that. And not only that, the Bible describes what those things are. Write it down. Micah chapter 6 verse 8 reads this. God has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Do you want to know what you're supposed to do as the primary part of your calling in your life? It is to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 13 says this. Now, all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of all matters. It doesn't matter what's going on out there. Here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep His command, for this is the duty of all men. The duty of all men is to fear God and keep His command. That's what the Bible tells us. Something that is sure, something that you can pursue, and something that you can fulfill. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 40 tells us this. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest command. This is what the first thing you ought to do. You want to know what is the primary goal of your life? Here is it. Love God with everything that you are. What is the secondary, Jesus? Jesus is like, hey, the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. The primary thing for us is to love God and love others. But I love John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. Please write that down and take a little bit of time with that at home sometime this week. John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29 says this. Then they ask him, Jesus, what must we do to do the work God requires? What must we do to do the works that God requires? Haven't you not ever asked that question? What is the work that God is requiring of me? Have you ever asked that question? I want to be in the center of God's will. I want to be my work. I wanted to contribute to the kingdom of God. I wanted to do the things that are going to impact the world for Jesus. But then we don't see our everyday work being that, right? We have this division in our mind that I don't know where did that started, where there is something called clergy and laity, right? You are the laity and I'm the clergy. So Sam do God's work, but what do you do? You don't do no work, right? And it's not God's work. What I do is mundane. It doesn't matter. I'm a nurse and it doesn't matter. I'm a doctor. It doesn't matter. I'm a police officer. It doesn't matter to God, right? I want to know what God wants me to do. And here's the thing. Reality is there's no difference between me and you. We are all clergy in God's eye. We are all working for God, from His kingdom. I am not different from you. We live the same life. We have the same calling. And we have the same goal in life, which is to do everything that we do for God. What I do is not any more special than what you do. I remember a mom coming to my office and said, I'm a stay-home mom and I don't feel the purpose. I don't have a purpose in my life. So I wish I was like you, like a minister preaching the word of God. I was like, ma'am, there's no difference between you and I. The only difference between us here is that you change diapers. And I have two because my wife makes me. There's no difference here. We are all together, and God has created us all uniquely with different gifts and ability and put us in the place where we are to do the works of God and for God. So people were confused back in the day too, asking Jesus, what must we do to do the works that God requires us to do? Jesus answered him, the work of God is this. Definition, right? Don't we live by definition? So this is the work of God. To believe in the one He has sent. Listen, it doesn't matter what you do. If you're a construction worker, if you're a lawyer, it doesn't matter what you do. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in the Son of God, you are doing God's work. It doesn't matter where you are. You are fulfilling God's purpose for your life and for the world. We were primarily called to be the person God intended us to be when He created us. And then we begin with fulfilling that by following Jesus and then by responding with obedience to this call, to this primary call. So it's not only about being a follower of Jesus, right? People want to resume Christianity to this, following Jesus. Like, that's all great, that's primary, but there's much more to that, right? Do you agree with me that there is much more to God's call of being a Christian to our life than just carrying a title, Christian? Don't give me a title. Give me a way to represent Jesus into the world. That's what I want. That's what you should want. A title means nothing, right? God calls us to specific actions that reflect who He has uniquely created us to be. And this is our secondary call. It's a call to action, to act in a way that represent who express who God has called you to be. I love this quote from Abraham Kuyper, a 19th century Christian theologian. He says this, there's not one square inch of the entire creation about which Jesus Christ does not cry out, this is mine, this belongs to me. So we are called in every area, specific in the area of work, of vocation, to express how God has uniquely called us to be. To illustrate that, you know, to talk about that, that's biblical, and that illustrates what the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And I want you to open your Bibles there. We'll spend a little bit of time here. Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. If you have your Bibles, you open. If you don't, you have the church app, you can download the church app, and we have a Bible there for you. That you can go from there. Regardless, you need to follow something because you know my reading is not the best. Working on it, though, Laura is always like making me do extra work at home. Ready? All right. On occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of, can't pronounce the word, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out to them and were fishing and was washing their nets. Getting to one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land and sat down and taught the people from the boat. So let me catch you up here. What's going on, right? These fishermen, they go out early in the morning and they go start fishing. They fish, we're going to read later on here, they fish all day, all night, they catch nothing, they come back to shore, they're getting ready to end the day, Friday, right? Remember that? Or Monday, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you're ready, you're done, you get in the car, and you're like, I'm going to go home and I'm going to relax. This is Peter and the disciples. They're about to go relax, and they're washing their nets to put it away. The day was over. Jesus come in, get to the boat without asking any permission. Just get in there and say, hey, guys, put a little bit out there because I have some stuff to get done. Really? Really, Jesus? Right now, couldn't you have come like early this morning, you know, we'll do that. We do this skipping a day for you, but not right now. It's the time to go home, right? So they put it out there. Verse 4. And when he had finished speaking, said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Man, Jesus is like that, right? Isn't he always pushing us to the edge? Isn't God always stretching us? Isn't that what he does? Isn't that what Jesus does to us? He stretches us. If it is at home, in the workplace, in our own faith, if it is driving your car down the street, Jesus is always asking us, let me stretch you a little bit. So the guys are ready to go home. Jesus asked them to go a little far. They go, and then Jesus is like, now let's go out for a ride, boys. Let's go into the deep. Let's go out there. I love Peter's response here because it's a great response, right? So put out into the deep and let down the nets for a catch. I love this part. Simon answered politely, I see. Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Jesus, oh man, don't come here and tell me how to do my job. Have you ever been there? Come on. It's not only Jesus, right? Is your friend, your student, whatever they might be, your co-worker, your wife. Don't come here and tell me how to do my things, right? I know how to do this. I know how to do this. Look what he says. Look at what he says. We worked all night long. We toil. I talked to you about that last week, right? Toil, work hard and give it all. It's 100%. Listen, we worked all night, Jesus. Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. We work all night and took nothing. Have you ever been there? Work all day long and you come in the end of the day, you feel like, man, I fulfilled nothing. I'm so unsuccessful. Today was a very unproductive day. Have you ever been there? Man, how many times we are working, and you come to the end of the day, at the end of the week, and you look back and it's like, wow, I have accomplished nothing. Life is so unfulfilling. Things are so unsuccessful. I am tired of doing this. I want something else. I want to move on. This is just not bringing fulfillment to my life. Have you ever been there? Many times. I was indifferent from the disciples. They were like, we have fished all night and we got nothing. We cannot provide for ourselves today, Jesus. Look at the next part. This is, I think it is profound. You need to take hold of this next part, okay? write it down on the note and put it on your mirror. Every morning you wake up, you read that part too, right? This is what it says. But Peter says to Jesus, but at your word, I will let the nets down. See, this is not about how we see success. This is not about what we think we are supposed to do or how we're supposed to do. It is about how we go about obeying the word of God. That's how it's how we apply the word of God into our lives. And Peter's like, I heard your word, and let me tell you, I'm going to apply it to my life, and I will let the nets down. I'm letting it down. I work on the, I know better. And maybe even you think like, I know better, Jesus, and I'm going to prove it to you that I know better. So I'm going to toss it anyway so that you know, Jesus, that I know more. Have you ever been there? Right? You're arguing with God like, God, come on, man. You think you know everything, but man, here in my workplace and in my personal life, I know everything. So I'm going to let it down just to sometimes maybe prove to you that I know better. But Jesus has always a way to stretch us and to surprise us, right? And he says this. So I'll let it down. Verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. Do you want to be successful in life? Do you want to be successful in your workplace? Do you want to feel like you're succeeding and you're changing the world and you're contributing to the kingdom of God and to those around you? You need to start paying attention to what God is telling you to do. You got to listen to the word and say, God, because of what you're saying, I'm going to let the net down. I'm going to let the net down. Success doesn't come by how, what you do, but it comes by how God blesses us. And God blesses us when we listen to his word. By your word, I will let down. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Much more than what they need. Much more than they ever thought they could catch. Because if they knew that they would get so much fish that the net would break, they would get a stronger net, right? Jesus does that kind of stuff. And they came and filled both, break in verse 7. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. So here's the thing about that too. When you're in your workplace and you understand that God has called you to be there, he has gifted you with different abilities to you to fulfill what purpose he has for you in that place, and you listen to his word, you're not the only ones who's going to benefit from the blessings. Those around you will too. Do you see this here? It wasn't only Peter and the people in his boat. He signaled around, and some other guy came, and they filled both boats with what? With fishes. Man, you are in your workplace, uniquely put there because God created you to fulfill a specific role, and then you listen to God's word. Not only you are blessed, those around you are blessed. They filled both boats to the fact that they were almost sinking in. Verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinner. I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, from now on you'll be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. I love this part, right? They see all this stuff and they are amazed by Jesus. Amazed by what was going on. They're even afraid. I don't know what fear has to do with catching fish, but I'm sure there is something, right? They're all afraid about what was going on here. And here's what the detachment from people, and when they read this and what I'm preaching about, this detachment comes in. They look at this like, well, Sam, these guys were fishermen, but now they're the disciples, they're apostles. Now they're like you, preacher. Right, they're going to go down the street and telling people about the word of God. We forget about this. Look about this. Look what it says. Like, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be what? Fishers of men. Jesus didn't change their profession. If they were a lawyer without Jesus before, now he's a lawyer of what? For Jesus. He's a fishers of men. This guy's profession didn't change. What it changed was the subject of what they were catching. Jesus didn't come to them and say, like, now from now on, your profession is gone. You're not going to be a fisher anymore. No, you're going to be fishers of men. And the fact that they become the disciples is because there's something uniquely about being a fisherman and fishers of men. Something that unique about that kind of profession that allowed them to reach people more for Jesus. Jesus don't ask you to change your profession for the opposite of that. You are there because God has created you uniquely to fulfill God's purpose for your life in that place. Our vocation, your calling, our occupation reflect God's calling to your life. If you're a fisherman before, you will fish men. Your abilities still remain. The second point I have for you here is developing your call. We ought to develop the calling, the gift that God has given us. And Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 17 to 26, it speaks of that. I really would like to unpack for you this morning, but I really don't have the time. But I want you to take the time sometime this week and say, God, how can I develop my calling? How can I develop myself? How can I mature on my workplace? And go there and read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 17 to 26. And you'll find out that working without God, it is vanity. That the only way that you work will fulfill you, that you'll be successful, is if you work with God in mind. Work is an expression of God's gift that He has given you. God, you ought to express those gifts, and God has put you in that to do just that. My third point for you that I will spend a little bit of time is the direction of our calling. So for you to pursue in your calling, you need to understand the kind of callings that you have. You have two: the primary, to be a follower of Jesus. And the secondary is a call of action to express who you are by how you live your life, especially in your workplace. The second one is to develop that call. I trust that you do a little bit of work on your own and then study Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 17 through 26. And now I'll talk about the direction of your calling, because fulfilling our call and living out a purposeful life of work involves determining a unique direction that God wants you to go. God has a direction for your life, and we ought to know what direction that is. To make the choices of a career or profession on selfish grounds, without the sense of calling, without the sense of understanding that God has something specific for your life, it is problematic. I think I would say it is one of the greatest sins we can commit, not to take God in consideration when we choose in our profession. We often err in how we discern God's direction. Sometimes we expect God to show us some sign from heaven, laying a specific plan for your life, right? Don't we do that? Like we're trying to discern and figure out what we do with our life, and we ask Jesus for the life plan portfolio. Have you ever been there? Jesus, bring me the portfolio, lay that all down, and I'm going to read it. And then He presents it to you, and you're like, I don't like that. Isn't that how it goes? We want God's direction, but then when He shows up and gives it to us, we're like, I scratch that. Let's try something else. So sometimes we make mistakes in trying to figure out and trying to lay the direction. But I think God uses He uses His word primarily. But there are some things that factors that we find in the Word of God that really determines the direction that we should go, especially professionally. I'll give them to you fast here. You can write it down because you don't have it in your notes. The first one is this: providence. The second one is giftedness. The third one is passion. And the fourth one is wisdom. Those are the biblical factors that place into God explaining to you and God giving you direction what you should do with your life, the direction you should go. It doesn't fall away from those four categories. I don't like system, but those four words, it really helps you understand what you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to be doing. The first one is the word providence, right? What opportunities, and when I talk about providence, I talk like, what opportunities exist, and where is God leading you? What is opportunities that God has given you? What are some of the choices that you have that you can step right into it? We talk about this all the time in the church. God has opened some doors, and you ought to walk through those doors, right? But the idea of like, oh, God opens the doors, but Sam, I have 3-4 other doors that is open for me. And so like, I can discern. So the next step really, really plays a role on that is giftedness. What do you know a lot of or seem to be very good at? Listen, God has given you some gifts and some abilities, and you will, the doors that he opens allows for you to use those gifts and abilities. He's not going to give you a door that you cannot do the job. Right? So that's what God does. He opens the doors that you can be the best of you in that place. I'll give an example of that. Yesterday, we were playing outside. We were hanging out with some friends here from the church, and Caleb was playing outside, and his hair was like all wet, you know, and he has that big afro that everybody likes to touch, and, you know, I was going to make more jokes, but whatever. So he's all hot, you know, and he's like, I don't want this hair anymore. That is like big and it's like so hot. I want you to shave it, to cut it. And I was like, opportunity. I'm going to walk right through it. So I bust the thing, you know. Here's the thing, though. It's a great opportunity to cut a hair, but I have no gift on cutting hairs. Come on, man. Are you serious? So don't look closely at his hair today because that might not look good. But I went and I buzzed it up. I cut it. See, so many times we are walking in doors that we don't have the gifts to walk into. And God is saying, like, listen, if it is open and you can use your gifts and your ability, don't walk through it. It's a trap. It is not mine. Have you ever been there? God works through open up, giving opportunities, giving you the gift to come through with that. But not only that, he also this idea of passion. What do you care about? What brings joy to your life? What makes you angry? If it brings a joy to your life and you're passionate about it, man, most likely that's the place where God wants you to be, right? Because that's the place you're going to make the most difference at. Opportunity open, you have the gift and you have the passion to work at it. Man, can you edit all that up? How much more effective would you be in a workplace? So where all that comes into being. The last one is wisdom. What do other godly people think or say about you fulfilling that specific role? Man, we're in 21st century, right? Kids like my age and even younger. Nowadays, we have lost this very important characteristic of looking back on those who have gone before us and say, hey, what do you think about this? We don't respect authority. We don't respect elderly. I understand. We don't respect wisdom anymore, right? Who is looking back and ask grumpy and grum or dad and mom or some older people in the congregation like, hey, what do you think about this? Do you think you know me? You know my gifts, my ability? Do you think I would fulfill this role well? We'll have lost all of that, but that is important. God does not intend for us to seek a direction on our own. He wants us to come together with other people who input in us wisdom and discernment so that we can live life well. This is all biblical, guys. I'll give you the Bible verses for this. On providence, go read Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 10. Paul and Silas are there trying to go somewhere, and God saying, no, I am not opening the door for you. I'm opening this other door for you. Here's the problem. God has opened doors for us, but you are often stubborn about going through them. But we need to listen. The giftedness aspect, go to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 and 30. For the passion aspect, go to Psalm verses chapter 37, verses 4. For the wisdom, go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 35. You see the importance of asking others for wisdom from the church community and those who love you. Listen, let me remind you that God has created us and our gifts for a place of His choosing, and we will only be ourselves when we are finally there. Can I say that again? God has created us in our gifts for a place of His choosing, not your choosing, not my choosing, and we will only be ourselves when we are finally there. personal story. People come to me often and say, Sam, how did you become a pastor? When did you find out the calling of God to be a pastor? When was it? When did the light bulb turn on? And I was like, never. Never heard a voice from God saying, Sam, you ought to be a pastor. Never. Never had like revelation, a dream or something. I have never. You know what has always happened to my life? I have some gifts of communication, I guess. People tell me, I don't know if I have or not. You tell me. You guys are all like, I don't know. People has always said, like, Sam, you're a leader. We can tell you you're a leader. They all tell me all these characteristics and these gifts that I have. And I embraced them, and I knew them to be true in my life. And opportunities start to happen, to open it up for me. And I walk through this door according to the gifts that I have had and the passions and the wisdom that people came to bring to me. I end up here not of my own doing. It was all God's doing. See, sometimes in our lives, we're trying too hard. We're trying too hard to pursue this thing that it is not. We don't even know if it's what God has for us. Here, let me tell you something that will free you today. Follow Jesus closely. Allow Him to open the doors for you. And you will know, when you're close to God, you will know which doors are for you to get in and which doors are you not. And then eventually, you'll find yourself in this place when you say, man, I have finally arrived where I'm at. God has called us to develop, to grow, and to mature through our unique set of gifts, passions, and personality. We should see work not as an occupation that makes us money, but as a vocation that expresses who God has uniquely created us to be. Our calling may not take us down the path of what people call glamorous by worldly standards, but no matter what your profession is, we are called to have an attitude toward vocation, our calling, our work that honors God and is in submission to His Lordship. And that's where you find fulfillment in life, success in life. Let me pray. Jesus, I pray that we would be more in tune with You so to really know the direction of our lives. Help us to be very awareness of our gifts. Help us to really be very aware of our passions. Because the opportunity that comes to us ought to be seen through the lenses of gifts and passion. Help us to be humble and ask people for wisdom and discernment. Help us to look to our elders, to our good friends, to our church community, to our parents, in a way that is humble. God, You have created us with gifts that are important for Your goal to us, not only personally, but for humanity overall. We want to contribute to the world, to the common good, by the gifts You have given us. Help us, Jesus. It's in Your holy name we pray.